This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, January 25th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a group in Chicago will celebrate the birthday of the late Scottish poet Robert Burns, one of many cities having such a celebration this evening. Chicago Public Radio's Lynette Kalsnes will have a story, and we'll update the AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A new board of directors will be appointed to oversee operations of the Champaign County Nursing Home. The Champaign County Board voted 16-8 last night in favor of the new board, which has undergone some changes since it was first proposed 3 months ago. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
County Board Vice Chairman Tom Betts thought a separate board for the nursing home was a terrible idea when it was first proposed last fall. Many of his fellow Democrats thought the same, and the original proposal was rejected in committee. But the idea of a nursing home board was brought back in a modified form, and Bett says he now supports it.
By slowing the process down, by requiring people not to just immediately do a solution that I think was a false solution, we have come up with something that I think preserves the public nature of this nursing home, and that is very, very important.
The proposal originally included hiring a management firm to help run the nursing home. That idea has been put aside. The idea of a nursing home board remains, and while it has less authority than first planned, it would still be made up of members who are experts in areas ranging from healthcare to marketing. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In other action, the Champaign County Board approved plans and a $6.8 million budget for the work on the old wing of the county courthouse. The work includes repair to the courthouse masonry, stabilization of the courthouse tower, and restoration of the tower to its original height. A private group is working to raise the $1.2 million for the tower restoration. They've raised $855,000 so far. Catherine Hogue is stepping down from the county board effective today. The Champaign Democrat has decided not to run for a second term after suffering a series of strokes beginning in 2006. But Hogue announced at last night's county board meeting that continuing health issues made even completing her current term difficult.
You know, just understanding and comprehending and reading all this material, you know, there's a lot of reading that has to be done, so I just think it's probably better for a younger person to take this position.
The 67-year-old Hogue says she's grateful for the chance to have worked with her fellow county board members and county employees during her time in office. Under county board rules, the chairman has 60 days to appoint a successor to fill Hogue's seat for the remainder of her term. Like Hogue, the successor must be a Democrat, and the appointment is subject to county board approval. The back-and-forth battle over Champaign County board member Brendan McGinty's ballot status went back into his favor Thursday. A state appellate panel overturned a circuit court's ruling and said McGinty's name should stay on the Democratic primary ballot despite errors in the page numbers on his ballot petitions. Urbana resident Richard Reynolds challenged McGinty's petitions, arguing that state law required that the petitions must be rejected because of their errors. Reynolds' attorney Ruth Wyman says they stand by their argument and will file a motion asking the appellate court to reconsider its ruling. If the court accepts the request, its next ruling might not come until after the primary election. Wyman admits that could cause trouble for McGinty if he wins the primary but ultimately loses in court.
If after the election McGinty's name is stricken from the ballot, then he would not be able to have the primary nomination. Because his position on the ballot would have been in error, even though it's after the fact.
Wyman says a nullification of a primary election result would be unfortunate, but would be in keeping with state law in such a case. McGinty's attorney says just the opposite. Attorney Andrew Beckett says case law in the 4th Appellate District makes it clear that honest mistakes in page number on ballot petitions are not grounds for rejecting a candidate. A man who led police on a crime spree in parts of Urbana and Champaign last June has entered a guilty plea. 32-year-old Toriano Johnson admitted in court yesterday that he shot at his girlfriend's sister and a police officer on the evening of June 24th. Champaign police traced Johnson from an apartment complex on Fairlawn Drive to in Urbana to a home in Hedge Court in Champaign, where he kept two children hostage for about an hour before surrendering to authorities. As part of a plea agreement, Johnson pleaded guilty to charges of attempted first-degree murder and aggravated discharge of a firearm, while three other charges were dismissed. State's Attorney Julia Reitz says she's comfortable with the agreement since Johnson faces a maximum of 50 years in prison. The charges require him to serve 85% of his prison term. He'll be sentenced in March. There was a tie vote in the Indiana Senate on a bill to allow pharmacists to deny customers prescriptions they believe cause abortions. The vote was 24-24 yesterday. Legislation must have a majority of at least 26 votes to pass, but because it was not defeated outright, it could come up for another vote later. The bill's sponsor, Senator Jeff Drozum, says pharmacists should not be required to fill prescriptions that go against their moral beliefs. Opponents say the bill is an attack on access to contraception. Senator Sue Arrington says women need to be able to control when they become pregnant. She says contraception is basic health care for women. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan is joining 17 other attorneys general in sending a letter to the head of the EPA criticizing the agency's delay on imposing vehicle emissions rules. The letter comes after EPA Administrator Stephen Johnson is under fire for denying waivers for more than a dozen states, including Illinois, that would have let the states mandate greenhouse gas reductions on cars and trucks. Johnson says he determined that California didn't meet the criteria to obtain the waiver, which is needed under the Clean Air Act. Madigan says she's appalled, saying nothing has been done in 9 months since EPA got the authority to deal with a critical issue like climate change. The new owners of farmland, once owned by Abraham Lincoln, are giving the public a chance to stake claim on a piece of it. The stretch of land in Coles County covers just 4 acres, but is part of a larger area that includes the Lincoln Log Cabin State Historic Site. The Friends of the Abraham Lincoln Historical Farm bought the land last fall with the intent of rehabbing an old cabin on the site and making it a visitor center. The general manager of the Friends Group, Dale Parsons, says the whole area was originally owned by the 16th president's father.
Thomas Lincoln came into hard times, and he asked Abraham for some money. And Abraham, of course, gave it to him, and he gave him $200. And his father wanted to give him something in return, and so he gave him 40 acres of land. That's what Abraham owned. It's the only piece of property other than his home that Abraham ever owned.
Restorations of the site will also include a walkway leading up to the cabin that highlights different portions of Lincoln's life. Tracts of land sold to the public will only amount to a square inch, but anyone who buys a section will receive a deed to the land. Parsons says it will be similar to owning a share of stock. The farmland is located in the village of Lurnham, just southwest of Charleston. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Whiskey, beer, and organ meats are on the menu this week. They're part of Burns Night celebrations that are going on all across the Chicago region. These annual suppers honor the January 25th birthday of the late great Scottish poet Robert Burns. Lynette Kalsness reports.
The supper at Martyrs Restaurant and Pub starts with a quest. Kate Hill drives up to Devon Avenue. She searches through the butcher shops, looking for the freshest of ingredients.
Hi, how are you? I'm here to pick up some sheep stomachs, and I think liver and some kidneys from you. Can I just look at one of the stomachs? Can you bring one of those out? I'd like to look at that. Thank you.
Hill has success. She finds fresh stomachs, livers, and kidneys at Knorr Meat Market and Hearts, just down the street at Zabija. She's buying all these organs to make haggis. It's a finely ground mixture of organ meats, onions, oats, and spices, all stuffed into the stomach of a sheep and then boiled like crazy.
It's really unattractive. It doesn't look delicious. You wouldn't look at it and say, oh, I have to have that, you know, because it's just a big stomach kind of all sewn up and puffy.
This traditional Scottish dish is at the very heart of a Burns supper. And Hill says being part of this tradition makes it worth the work.
If you close your eyes, you can imagine that we would be drinking mead with a blazing fire, you know. I mean, there is just something that's just really just so old about it.
On the Burns Night Supper, Hill puts the haggis on a silver platter and parades it around the packed bar. When people see the haggis approach, they clap and cheer. It's a tradition that started 200 odd years ago when friends gathered to honor Robert Burns after his death.
Many of us believe that Robert Burns is the authentic voice of the Scottish people.
Gus Noble is president of the Illinois St. Andrew Society, a charitable organization that preserves Scottish traditions.
The things you'll find between the lines of Burns' poetry are universal truths and universal meanings that people all over the world can believe in and hold up and live their lives by.
Burns' work gave us famous phrases like, "The best-laid schemes of mice and men often go astray." Burns' suppers are now celebrated around the world.
It's a little bit of home, far away from home.
Ross McFarker is from Scotland. He says the dinners there can be body and male-oriented and quite regimented.
It's almost a Masonic rite, these Burns suppers. What happens in the Burns supper stays there. You know, what all these strange men from different parts of society discuss at the Burns supper, they never talk about it afterwards.
In the Chicago area, Burns suppers range from black tie at the country club to jeans and kilts at a local pub. At Martyrs, the focus is music and poetry. Ironically, the main organizer is from Northern Ireland. Colin McCann started the event with a Scottish fiddler named Gwen Sale, who later died in a car accident. So McCann says he and other friends carried on the event, dedicated to Sale and Burns.
It's kind of like a Burns open mic sort of a night, you know, and it's just cool, casual, and easy going. And if people mess up, nobody cares. So if people fall down, nobody cares about that either. So, yeah, it's just a fun evening.
If Robbie Burns was alive today, I gotta say, I think that this is actually the supper that he would come to, because the people that come to this are Burns people.
John Crombie is on the board of the Illinois St. Andrew Society. After the haggis is paraded in, he performs the Burns poem, Address to a Haggis.
But mark the rustic! Haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread.
Then he leads everyone in a toast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the haggis!
The evening ends with people clasping hands. Auld Lang Syne is Burns' most famous work, though many people don't know that he wrote it. The people gathered here hope that dinners like this will change that and spread the word about Burns and Scottish culture far and wide. I'm Lynette Kalsnes, Chicago Public Radio.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny early, increasing clouds, the high around 25. Cloudy tonight, a chance of a few light snow showers and flurries, the low around 20. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, there's a chance of a few flurries, the high 35. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low 22. Mostly sunny Sunday, the high around 40. Increasing cloudiness Sunday night, the low around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, January 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bostert, AM 580 News.